In a world where identities are swallowed by corporations yearning for your hard-earned money, and the human experience gets further reduced into sellable ad space for the same greedy mongoloids that never had a childhood themselves, few public spaces remain truly untouched, as is the case with the Jovan Secret Podcast. Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 20. Hitting the, not just the double digits, but the double-double digits. Never thought I'd do it, but I'm still rocking hard, so I'll introduce guest number 19. Guest 19, please say hello.
Hello.
Want to know a fun fact?
I would love to know a fun fact.
The word checkmate in chess comes from the Persian phrase shahmat, which means the king is dead. Checkmate, shahmat, similar.
Very interesting and fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Checkmate, motherfucker. So, I started something last episode that I'm going to try and continue here, where we talk about more topical things.
Okay.
Because the world is wide, it's vast, it's not just our bubble that's going on, things outside are happening too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might date the episode, so maybe I won't continue it, but for the time being...
You're going to roll with it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Recently. Was it today or yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday. At 95 years old, Stan Lee, the creator and owner of Marvel Comics, died. Rest his soul.
Whatever. Rest in peace, Stan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he provided a lot for young kids finding their identity.
Or lose their identity. What if he's a menace to society? No, I'm sure he did good.
His legacy just like is terrorized the next few weeks.
Yeah, all these people that are just like, you know, wars against Spider-Man and Batman, just everyone hating each other. That'd be terrible. Imagine World War III started because Stan Lee died.
Oh my god.
That'd suck.
That'd be horrible.
I'm just kidding. Hey, rip Stan. Rip.
Rip to the legend.
That's right. Anyway, moving on. So that's the topical section. Now we're going to get on. Yeah.
Now let's go back into history.
That's right. So now we're going to get into the history of my mystery guest.
Oh,
instead of me starting with the normal first question I do, I'm going to ask you a wild card.
Oh my god.
I don't know if you're ready for this.
It's a Wild West Oakville out here.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're placing us. It's okay. Oh, when it comes to location, that's fine. I do that all the time. So far, it's been Burlington and Oakville. I haven't traveled elsewhere. No, I was in Dundas when I interviewed the American.
But I don't live here, so it's a mystery.
There you go.
We're just posted up in this middle ground.
Temporarily, right? Cops can't find us.
Yeah.
They come here, there's nothing but dust.
I know.
Okay, you ready for the first question?
Yeah.
What is your favorite sexual position?
Oh my god.
There's just so many racing through your mind.
I don't know if I like...
You don't
have a favorite. I think missionary is like the most intimate to me.
Okay. So
you can like kiss them.
That's true. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you consider that to be the most important thing?
The intimacy?
Helping you get to that goal, you know?
What goal?
The nut.
It's No Nut November.
Well, we're not talking about right now. We're reminiscing on back in the day when we used to nut. Yeah, the no nut days.
Wait, sorry. Is what the most important part?
Intimacy, the romantics, is that what gets you there? Or are you someone who just, does it depend on the situation? Sometimes you're like, shut up and bend over.
I mean, I've had all of the experiences, but I think what I've learned about myself is that I don't enjoy casual encounters.
Yeah.
I think the past couple months I've had them, and it's almost really like, awkward and forced and feels like this thing I have to do.
An obligation.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like I like wake up the next day and I'm just like, I didn't really like gain anything from that or like think I'm a better, not saying you have to be a better human every time you have sex, but like, it just, I don't know, it always feels wrong like in the moment. And
so
it's like, I just feel weird about it after.
Yeah.
But all my favorite intimate moments have been with people that I like care about.
You've known. It helps, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna give an analogy to that. Not the intimacy part, but the casual part. It's kind of like with gambling. All of society is sold on this idea that one-night stands are awesome, right? Or that it could be awkward, but it's living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's just banging people that you just met.
Yeah.
And just like gambling, it's selling this dream,
Yeah.
Right? But then, meanwhile, you walk out of the place with no money and you just, your eyes hurt and you nothing like, but regret.
What the fuck is that?
Because, yeah, I'm the same way. For me, it's got to be intimacy or nothing. I've only had 2 one-night stands, and both times I felt terrible after.
Really?
Yeah. It, like,
Yeah, I think it was, like, very recently I had. It wasn't really a one-night stand. It was a girl that I had hooked up with before. But, like, I just felt like, I was like, what am I doing?
It was not good because there wasn't that relationship aspect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that way too. Because, I don't know what it is. Maybe you need the certain mentality, right? Because it's not like all guys want to do one-night stands and all girls want relationships.
Yeah. I think I'm like... So I play hockey once a week, and the guys I play with, at least, like... I mean, there's 4 of us that go up, and, like, 3 of them... Definitely 2 of them, but mostly 3. I feel like are, like, an influence in the kind of way that they operate in this very, like, alpha male state, where it's, like...
The bro mentality.
You have to, like, have sex, like, with whatever. Like, this
get
one
in
guy...
fights, this, fuck, yeah, and, you know,
this
just smoke.
My one friend, like, the MMVAs last year, he said he was leaving the MMVAs and met this girl on the street, and he got head in an alley from her. He just met her
graceful.
5 minutes before.
How
I'm
do
like,
you... You're like,
I'm like, this is a fantastic story, and I'm going to tell everyone I know about this because it's so ridiculous, but I'm like, if I were you, I just feel disgusted.
Yeah,
like,
and you go, well, you got to check yourself out.
In an alleyway with this girl you met five minutes ago?
Hey, everybody has their own taste, right?
I guess so.
But, yeah, that's nuts. It's like, sure, it's that'd be awesome if it was like a porno, you know? Where it's like, you know everybody's clean.
It is
and
like,
everybody's on the same page.
It is like a porno, like those ones, like, they happen like Czechoslovakia or Russia or something.
Yeah, where
there's
it's always
like a foreign
public.
Girl.
Yeah.
And it's like, then they, like, take
they just
the girl to their hotel or something. It's like, this was staged.
Yeah, you could tell, yeah. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. But if we could hone things down and just focus on the moment by moment interactions that we have, maybe that's a key to something. Cause like, like the biggest reason why for me it's got to be relationship or bust kind of thing, bust in the bad way, is it's. Yeah, like, I don't know if I get inside my own head about it, but it's like, this is a performance, right? Like, you're trying to do this thing, and then...
And I feel like I'm always... My first time with someone's always bad. And so I feel like that's why, after I do it, I feel so bad about myself, because I'm like, that
it's
was
like,
terrible.
Wait, we gotta get familiar with each other.
We gotta, like,
figure
out the kinks here.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a rupture in my process, so I need to...
Yeah.
But I think what it was, I've only had one... actual serious relationship that was like 2 years long, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And after that, the like at, nearing the end of the relationship was like really bad for me. I ended up ending things, but it was like I was so miserable, and for a while after that, like a whole year, I was like so sour on relationships in general.
Yeah.
Like I just had no interest in them, and so I entered this phase where I was like, it just has to be casual encounters.
Yeah.
And then I had that for a year. It wasn't like I was doing it very often. It was like...
It was just the mentality.
Maybe there was
had.
Like 4 girls in 1 year, but it was like... And maybe I enjoyed it in that moment, but I think I've changed. I'm just like, I don't enjoy this anymore.
Yeah, this isn't the kind of person you want
to
be.
Yeah. But it's always good to be changing as a human too, right?
Yeah, evolving.
Like, yeah,
changing. Yeah, you were a great person, and then you Walter White'd. So, but yeah, because that's one thing. I think I mentioned this in an earlier podcast. Is people can go from bad to good. You never hear of people going from good to bad. Like if there was like someone who was a devoted father, and then they like ended up like cheating and just like leaving their family and stuff.
Yeah,
it's not that they went from good to bad. They were just doing what society wanted of them, but in their head the whole time they're like, can't wait to cheat or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't think there's ever a case where people go from good to bad unless like their kid's killed and they become a vigilante to try and track down the person.
Fair enough.
But that's just me. That's just a theory.
Yeah.
For myself. let's move on though.
If you
here's
would
the
like.
First here's the first real question
Okay. I thought that was a real
that question. That was some ninny nanny. That was just
I
some,
like that.
Some
Can we do that for an hour?
Sure. Well, yeah. But I'll interject with this, though.
Okay.
How's your day today?
Oh, my day was fine. I don't know. I woke up.
Had That's always important.
My morning smoothie. Then I went to the gym. Came home. Made my second breakfast. And then came to this town we're in. And you're right. With my dad. Now I'm hanging out with you.
Nice. So yeah. It's pretty. What are most of your days consist of? Is that abnormal or more normal?
I feel like.
Like, are you a gym guy?
What's that?
Are you a gym guy?
This is a recent thing. I started going to the gym in like March. Yeah. But I go 5 days a week, so I guess that's like a normal start to my day.
It's better than me. Me zero. But I got a labor job. That's the only excuse I have.
Fair enough. So you are kind of working out.
Sure.
I don't do a labor job, which I guess this is a segue. So I feel like I need that physical activity. And I also bike everywhere in the city. I live in Toronto.
I bike everywhere. Scared to do that.
And I play hockey once a week. And the hockey, 5 days a week. So I'm pretty active. But like, and I feel like I have to be because my job... I'd say
requires you to bike
90% of I'm not an Uber Eats biker, unfortunately. Yeah. My job has me sitting at my desk in my own apartment.
Yeah.
Because I work for myself for like most of the day.
And so for those of you who don't know for some reason, your job is very it started. Or actually, okay, maybe I don't know this fully about you. How did it start once you were done your post-secondary education? Yeah, like your...
Well, so they were kind of intertwined because the final year of my education was an internship.
Okay, yeah.
And so
yeah,
I interned at a music website, kind of assisting a video producer there, edit interviews, and basically just... editing interviews and transcribing interviews for some of the writers.
Yeah.
And then conveniently at the end of that 4 month internship, the video producer quit and just like handed me his job in his lap. I feel like he was kind of like grooming me throughout the process to be prepared for this, which I had no idea until it was like, so-and-so's quitting. And so all of a sudden I was a video producer of this music website. And for 3 years, I got to like just interview bands I love and film live performances and take portraits of artists and have all these weird experiences at music festivals and award shows and stupid music industry parties. And
but like that's gotta be kind of like living the dream. I mean,
it was. Yeah. I think I look back on it now, like some days I'm sitting there like doing nothing and I'm like, oh wait, I feel like if 16-year-old me knew that he got to like interview, or like 16-year-old me, if he knew in 10 years he got to hang out with and for an entire day basically one of his favorite bands Phoenix, and like got to talk to them and they were like super nice, he would just have his entire like world obliterated. But so, like in that moment I'm like fairly casual and chill about it, and even after,
because you're like, this is business, right? You're here,
yeah, I guess
on
so.
A mission, right?
Yeah, but it's like I think I have to like look back and like realize like, oh no, that's
awesome.
Mind-bogglingly crazy and like such a privilege for me to have been doing that stuff and like getting paid for it, which is kind of crazy to like,
yeah, it's a win-win.
So I'm like heavily into listening to music and all sorts of music. It's pretty much all I do.
Well, and your friends
so,
too.
It
kind of puts me to shame how, because like I thought I listened to a lot of music, but nothing compared to you guys, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, listen to quite a bit. At least, like...
a specific genre. It's not like you're listening to country, classical, you know?
I listen to country music as well. I listen to everything. Like, from country to hip-hop to indie rock to
jazz.
Mainstream top 40 pop to...
Nice.
All of it.
And then, so, you're working for yourself now.
Yeah, so I went from that music website, then I worked for a radio station for a year.
Up to you if you want to name
them. Keep it
anonymous.
Well, for the next detail, we'll keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
Then they laid me off.
Yeah.
And then I was like, huh. And I was applying to jobs, had some interviews with some like fantastic companies, but nothing really panned out, and I just got to this point where it was like, all right, I guess we'll run solo on this mission.
Yeah.
And so now I am just, I guess my title is, I'm a freelance producer, director, editor, and occasional videographer, but typically I'm hiring a videographer to shoot things that I'm producing.
Nice. And how many projects have you put under your belt? Is that
so
the right terminology?
It can be whatever you want it to be. Sure. But I've only been doing this for a few months, and in terms of projects,
you're not homeless
probably,
yet, so there,
it's
probably
like
okay.
7 to 10.
Okay.
But like,
a lot for 3 months. Like, if I think of myself even trying to do that, it's like it'd be a rousing success if I got one or two.
Really?
Yeah.
It all escalated very quickly, which was nice. I think it's because hopefully this doesn't sound cocky, I had a lot of connections in the music industry that kind of like
your name
allowed me to tap into, and so they put my name out there. And then because my brother does this full time, he just shoots, so he had a lot of things that he couldn't do because he was so busy that he got to pass on to me. And then I've met people on this shoot, and that's led to something, and so it's just kind of like
it's a network.
This tree, this branch that keeps growing. You meet someone on another shoot and they're like, oh, we love working with you, like actually my company has these videos they want done.
It's kind of like a snowball effect.
Yeah, it is.
But that's just how it works. Like, if you, especially in producing, you know, having connections is the point, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
And then the more people you know, the bigger your reputation grows. That's how you become successful or not successful. So, kudos, you got that at 10. Like, that's
I'm just ballparking, but like, yeah, around there, different projects.
It's not zero.
It's not zero.
There you go.
Which is.
Doing more than me, but I guess I haven't tried producing
but yet. Yeah, you're not a freelance video producer, so
yeah, not yet.
No,
you might have to watch out. Yeah. Start to see me come from the rear, you know.
Hey, go for it. I welcome friendly competition.
Yeah, nice. So I want to turn the tables a little bit on this conversation.
You want me to ask you questions?
That's right. Can you just
read this?
Pick something out of there.
Joe,
if you had to choose.
You are so cool, and I love you.
Oh my
wrote
God.
This?
Oh, what do you mean? What did I write? That's so sweet though. Keep going.
You want me to pick something from here?
If you had to choose, yeah.
Oh my God.
You can read through it. We got time. That's the greatest thing about
it. I'm very attracted to the anything to do with romance.
Okay.
I don't know why. I feel like it's just a topic I could talk about forever for being so terrible at it.
Well, no,
it's so useless. I feel like I have so much to say.
Because there's thought and there's action, you know. Have you heard of The Good Place? You know,
I love The Good Place.
You know Chidi?
Yes.
I'm not saying that's you, but it's like you can know a lot about something without actually doing it, right?
Right.
I wouldn't call it book smart, maybe just philosophy smart. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got anything in here for me?
Oh.
If you had to choose one, like, you could, I don't know, go for one of the bottom ones. I don't think I've used those in any of the podcasts yet.
Would you rather live in the near future where you always watched?
Where you're always watched?
Where you're always watched? What does that mean? What's this?
Big Brother. You ever heard of George Orwell's 1984?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So let's go with that question. I don't
okay,
know what
so,
you're saying.
So the question is, would you rather live in the near future where you are always watched, or would you rather live in the Wild West where the law is way less regulated because it's the Wild West, but obviously you're more free to just do whatever you want? Control and safety, or freedom, potential danger? How would you have it? Would you rather be a rat in a nice safe cage, or would you rather be in the sewers with your friends?
Oh, man. So it's basically, would you rather live in the future or the past?
Yeah, because obviously there's negative aspects for both, if this is the future.
I feel like I'd rather live in the future because life expectancy, ideally, will be higher.
There you go. That's a good way of looking at it. It's about survival first and foremost. That should be the baseline of any any pick or choose scenario.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, me, I'm the same way. But that's just because I don't have a lot of controversial thoughts. It's not like I just conform to whatever public opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm very pro science. So if we lived in this near future world that's all about security and security cameras, but it was like a fascist future,
right,
where they're like spouting lies, they're like, yeah, Kim Jong-il doesn't defecate. I'd be like, bullshit, his shit.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on AI and like the kind of robots? They're in the future. I feel like we're gonna have these robots that have the intelligence of the entire human race.
Just in one of them.
In like a chip.
Yeah.
Which is far more powerful than you or I. And so you create one of those.
And then they can create
the ramifications. Yeah.
So here's where.
It's easy to say that we are heading towards that point.
Or we already
have. Due to how fast technology is advancing.
Yeah, because I think we've created AI, what would they call it? Narrow AI, which is AI that become masters of one craft. So obviously computers.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's not much of an AI because we have to punch in the numbers. But then you have the AI that can play, what's it called, OK Go? Is that the Chinese board game? That's like 100,000 times harder than chess.
Oh, I've seen that, right.
And it played against itself. It simulated matches. And in like 14 seconds, played 14 million games. And then became a master. And then played against the world's best player.
Yeah.
And beat him.
Yeah.
Like, first try. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But that's just narrow AI, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to... For me, I try to bring down to the basics. I'm like... We say the term AI, but what we really mean is general artificial intelligence. So that would be like us, we have general intelligence. Because saying artificial intelligence, that already exists everywhere, right? If you're playing against a computer in a video game, right? That's what that is. So general AI, what would be its driving factors? Our driving factors, our wants and needs, are driven by evolutionary standards that are imposed on us, whether it's fetishes or greed or whatever, right? Our wants and desires, maybe they're imposed on us by our parents when we're young, ideals, ideologies, whatever, right? And like, sex obviously plays a big role into things, right? Guys will invent airplanes just to go check out their bay across the ocean. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure someone made a joke about that with the Wayans brothers. But they're like, that they literally created flight so they get to go, like, go over and see the chick on the other side. So everyone's scared that robots are going to take over because that's what people do. People take over,
right,
if they're more powerful. But what if they just have no desire to take over? Like, where would those desires come from?
Interesting.
Because our brains are crafted through evolution. We have instincts. Whether or not we think we have instincts, a robot wouldn't have any instincts. So it would have
no... I think what it would come down to is these robots having a realization that there is no need for us.
Yeah.
Which maybe that is files under wants and desires. But once a robot can...
What's it going to do with that
information? Can realize, I don't need these humans, and it has the capacity to do whatever, who's to say that it won't kill us?
Because
it's hard to say. Is that a gamble you want to take? Like, oh, we'll create this incredibly intelligent...
Very moral machine. You know, it won't want to kill people.
But you can't leave that up to chance.
Yeah.
I think we just need to, like, pump the brakes on this.
Or just contain it. We'll make the
I
best narrow AIs. Because
even
and
seeing
we'll just
those
stay away
Boston
from
dynamic
yeah.
things run,
yeah.
I'm, it's like so...
They, and doing backflips while running.
I'm like
and just
scared.
And there's like dogs with like hands that can open doors.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so obviously that stuff's just nightmare fuel, but it's like... The AI we should fear is the AI that's just on a chip. It's not going to be in a robot. It's going to be in the internet.
True.
It won't have a body. And it'll just create malware. It'll set off all the nukes. I don't know. But, because it... Let's say its desire is that it doesn't need us. It has the capacity to grow, so it just wants to grow. Let's say that's what it wants.
Yeah.
It would destroy the Earth to be able to grow. It would turn the Earth into a giant computer or something. Or it would take all the resources of the planet, producing it using these Boston robots, collecting shit. And then it would design a better machine, and then a better machine, and it would create, like, I don't know. Have you seen the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still?
No.
That's with Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Or no, that's The Day After Tomorrow? No, that's the only one. But yeah, so the one with Keanu Reeves, he's an alien, and with him is this robot sidekick. Robot sidekick doesn't move the entire movie until the end. It gets activated because, like, Keanu Reeves ends up getting sick or something, and it just, like, explodes into a cloud of, like, all these little nanobots, and the nanobots just swarm the planet, basically, like, destroying it until Keanu Reeves stops it. But I'm thinking nanobots would be far more efficient than humanoid or dog-oid robots.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier to collect resources that way, and then it would just destroy us all. So either it's too late, or maybe, yeah, we should focus on narrow AI instead of general AI. Because what is going to be its driving force? Where is its wants and needs going to come from?
I just feel like if something had the intelligence of the human race, it's like...
It would clearly see us as inferior. Like,
you have the intelligence to know that, we don't need these humans.
Yeah.
Well, I want this to myself.
Yeah, or be like, humans are literally the dumbest things in the world. It would look at politics and be like,
yeah.
Wait,
they
see
inefficiencies and they want to make the world more efficient.
Get rid of the
boom,
biggest...
Goes the human.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do? AI, eat your goddamn heart out. I don't give a shit.
All right.
On to the next question. Actually, you know what? Okay, so I'm going to skip these questions here. I'm going to bring up the topic page.
Oh, wow.
Because you said you like the idea of romance. Let's talk romantic
relationships. Let's rephrase that. I don't say I like the idea of romance. I like talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I know absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am very qualified to talk out of my ass.
Perfect. That's what this is for. Nobody knows who you are. You could be a, you could have a PhD
in
love
and relationships.
Philosophy, yeah, exactly. When you think of romantic love, how does it differ from family and friendships? Obviously, aside from the sex. What's the key
you
thing?
You have sex with your friends?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant. Yeah. It's like, with romantic relationships, you have sex with the family and the friends. So, what's different with that?
Sorry, say the question again.
Relationships
what
are different.
Find different.
Yeah, because a lot of people could have the same relationships with their friends and their family. Right? Where
right.
you can confide in them with stuff and you can have fun with them, right? You can have a night out with them, you can go to the movies, you can drink with them, right?
Yeah.
So those two could be interchangeable.
I find it's just all in like a... I'm kind of putting myself in a scenario right now where I'm in love.
Yeah, so you've met the love
and,
of your life.
And I think it's just like this like burning desire to like want to be with them and like be present with them or like be thinking about them or trying to make them happy, which I mean, you should be trying to make all humans around you happy, but it's like,
of course,
it's this like special connection where you have this like one human, you have this bond between two people, and you're kind of moving through life together, like on the same plane. Whereas with friends and family, it's you're all moving in separate directions at different speeds,
yeah, you're independent.
And I feel like in the right. Like romantic relationship, it's like you're on the same track holding hands, like at the same speed and like moving the same direction, and there's just like a special bond there.
Because when I think of failed relationships or ones that I've heard of and stuff, like the reason why most people break up, they're either going in different directions is a term people use. I've sort of just see you more as a friend than as a lover. That can happen a lot of the times too. So, yeah, clearly being on the same page is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Where it's, like you were saying about just wanting to be with them is like this one of the more tangible emotions that you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with like romantic love.
And you're not always going to be on the same page. It's good to be changing
people.
And adapting. Yeah, you're two independent people, but I think it's good to be open with the person about your thought process and everything, and then that influences them. Not like you're trying to change them, but like, I don't know, you're going through life together, so
yeah,
grow together.
That's true. That's a good point. Let's say that you meet someone like in the middle of your life, you're 35 years old,
okay,
So you've had serious relationships or something,
Am
right?
I single in this scenario?
Yeah, you're single. So you're not like debilitated or anything. You're not like, oh, no one's been with me this long. Right? So you're a totally normal guy.
Yeah.
But you're in your career that you're going to be in for the rest of your life.
Okay.
So there's no specific growth scenario as far as life changing goes, aside from maybe meeting this person who's in the same scenario. So there's no growing. You just both meet in the middle of your lives.
Yeah.
And feel this connection, this chemistry that's like totally undeniable. What would be the driving force for two people that have lived basically their whole lives?
Yeah.
And set up their lives together, and then they meet. What would be the moving forward at that point? It would probably just be only with each other. It would be an internal sort of situation. I mean, there's also,
I guess
the
you're right. I feel like there it's, you're looking for like a, or you're getting like a new lease on life. Like there's a new spark.
Yeah.
Whereas for people who at that point have been in a serious relationship for 5 or 10 years, that like fire burning passion fizzled out years ago. And you're at that point, those people are just at that same point where they're not, growing anymore or whatever. They're still like in love or whatever, but
yeah.
You know, you've gone through those 20s of learning and discovering and whatever.
Yeah.
But you get there at 35 and you meet someone, it's like now there's like a new spark. It's a new person in your life. It's exciting. So you have this like midlife anti-crisis where it's just everything's exciting and
it's good.
You have that fire again.
Yeah. Because, like the, I forget where I read this, but there's, I'm going to think they made it up, and this isn't an ancient proverb, but there was someone talking about ancient love and like what makes true love true, and it's not the romantic part at all. The romantic part is like the infatuation part where you're learning who the other person is. So you two connect because of the chemistry, and there's the sex and everything else, and then learning the other people's families and friends and everything.
Yeah.
And then as the years go on, that fire dwindles, but it's an evolution. It's like maturing, because after the connection and after the fire, what remains after is like the foundation of both of your lives connected. So after that point, it's just like having a partner the whole time, where it's like it's your second brain. Like both of you don't see each other as this like, oh my god, like I'm so excited to see you kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's now just that person is also you. So you go to them for advice the way that you would maybe like second guess yourself or ask questions or anything.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And then obviously that's like what parents would do. They both obviously have to be on the exact same page when raising a kid unless the kid.
So getting in a relationship is really just cloning yourself.
Well, it's the life partner, but you know, for the perfect relationship, the partner would be a second you.
Yeah.
So not necessarily cloning them, like making them
See,
like everything
like
you
like.
That's
not ideal because I feel like
no,
that's
too.
Like you always
too
kind of want progress, and
yeah,
if you're just the same person, it's like having people
you
around bored. You, in a job or in anything that just keep agreeing with you. It's like, no, we can't have a group of 10 people who disagree with each other.
Yeah,
you're not gonna advance anything with that. You need to be challenged and.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe that's too black and white to put it, because you'll learn new things. You'll have opinions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think if two people had the same opinion about things, so you'd still disagree about how to engage a certain scenario?
Yeah.
But if you were to have all the same opinions about any topic of the world, right?
Yeah.
How to raise your kid, both have the same opinion on how to do that. Politics and religion, whatever, right? You're all on the same page that way.
I think that's good. I think to me, having this be on the same page about interests or any of that is good, because your conversations about those things are like productive and positive, even if it's something controversial like politics. If you're both agree, you're like, look at this thing we agree with, and you can discuss it, and it's not something you don't disagree
you
with. So there's
it.
No argument.
Yeah,
there.
A potential.
It's like having friends, like. You and your friends and have similar interests.
Yeah.
And you talk to them. Like, I talk to my two best friends all day about our similar interests, mainly. We talk about music a lot.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine if we just all like different kinds of music.
And yet we're still friends somehow.
Yeah, it's just like...
Yeah. Take away from it, or you'd start to suspect the other person's just agreeing with you all the time.
Yeah,
you're like, fucking say anything else other than what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. What would be your ideal sort of blossom? Do you have even if this you're just making it up on the spot, but like the fantasy approach of you meeting the perfect girl? How does it happen? You're both at a concert. Yeah.
Well, right now, my options are Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge, which I'm on both, all of them.
Well, this is like this fantasy experience.
Ideally, it would be great if it wasn't on there, because those are exhausting.
Yeah. It's a meet cute, as the kids call nowadays.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know,
shout out to Millennials, you know who. Or iGen. Or you know who, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, the ideal scenario.
You're hiking in the woods, and you're lost. Just,
the first thing my... mine went to was like in the summer me and my friend went on a trip and we like hiked this like real sick mountain.
Yeah.
I just imagine like it was awesome that he was there, but I just imagine that he wasn't and I was alone.
Yeah.
And then you get there and then this other girl shows up who's alone and you're on this like wicked mountain and you like all of a sudden, oh, you just had this bottle of champagne that you brought to celebrate it yourself. It's
crackling fire.
And then like, oh, wait, I forgot I brought two glasses. And then you have champagne on this mountain with this really cute girl. It's man, gorgeous. That's ideal.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's what to strive for.
Yeah.
No, yeah, well, okay.
Or like, but also in that scenario, there's no cell service or anything, so you can't like, so you're just stuck in the moment.
Yeah, maybe
not stuck. You're in the moment. You're stuck in.
It implies some sort of capture.
Yeah.
What if there's some danger thrown in? You start to hear like bears in the distance or something.
A good challenge early on.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd probably just like jump off the mountain and be like,
"Peace, enjoy the champagne."
It's too good to be true. I knew it.
Yeah, goddamn it!
I've been captured.
You're gonna pelt me.
Yeah.
True. What would be the ultimate nightmare scenario? Or have you had it?
In
either or, for a first meet. Like a first date.
I've never had any... literally all... I think there's like two dates I've been on that haven't come from a dating app.
Yeah.
So they've all been fairly standard.
Organized through technology.
Yeah. It's remarkable how terrible I am. I'm using the air quotes right now because I hate the idea of this picking up girls at bars. It is remarkable how absolutely horrible I am at this thing that seems to be so common and simple to some people. I've never once been successful at doing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not someone who can like go up to a total stranger and start a conversation that'll make them interested in me. I think it's easier for me to like millennial me to start that interaction online and like establish a basis.
Because you both understand that you're both single and looking. Right?
I'm only gonna ever go on a date if we have like shared interests and like I think you're cool. So I go up to girls at bars, which I don't go up to girls, but if I ever have, it's like, you could
be anti-me.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. So I don't know if there, I've never had a nightmare situation.
That's good. Because there are bad ones out there. Yeah. You want me to tell me yours? It's never been said on this podcast
before. I love it. Let's do it.
But when I say nightmare, it's not like she like robbed and attacked me or anything. It's like, so awkward. So, I make some friends in the summer going into grade 12. Thank you. Because, I went overseas for this thing, make a bunch of friends, come back, like, we all take down each other's numbers and stuff, and then so we start hanging out as soon as grade 12 begins. I'm like going into Toronto to hang out with these people. I'm like, I'm so cool. I'm like, I'm hanging out with Toronto kids. And the two people that I met overseas got together, and then so they come back and they're like, oh, Joe, you gotta, let me introduce you to one of my friends. Like, they'll love you. You're so funny. It's gonna be great. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm down. I'm single. And so they set me up on like a double date thing, because they're there and then I'm there with the girl, and like we're going out to a club
date.
Yeah, so
boy,
we go,
this is spicy.
Yeah, we go, we're not even 18 yet, so like I'm thinking, do we need fake IDs? And they're like, no, you need IDs to get to the second floor, but if you just pay the bouncers, they let you in. And I'm pretty sure this club's gone now, but it was like a 3-4 floor club where the first one's just music. But then to get anywhere up where the alcohol is, you need ID. And
do you remember what name?
No, because like it was so long ago, and I've hated that night so much that I'm just like blocking everything.
Keep
out of
going, me. I love it.
But so we get to the place, we get in, you know, we start drinking and stuff, and then the girl that I'm with, we haven't done much. Like, we held hands, I guess. Like,
did you
once we got in.
Talk to this? You'd be
well,
talking to this girl.
Yeah, we're talking the whole time.
Was,
saying, who are you? What's your
name?
Yeah, like,
was there any,
life?
Like, interest on either side there?
Well,
it
was, like, jitter excitement, because, like, we're both not
experienced.
Yeah,
were you,
all,
like, feeling good about it at this point in the story where you are?
I was like, she's a little short for my liking, but, like, there wasn't that huge, like, chemistry thing where I was like, oh, my God, like, I want to be with you kind of thing.
It but
was
it
like,
wasn't like she
oh,
was talking to her friend, like, we need to out of here.
No, so
okay.
Both of us
so
are fully in it.
Yeah,
we're
perfect.
Just like, let's try and make this work.
Yeah,
so we're just, you know, we're supposedly having a good time, we're all doing okay. And so we're hanging out, we're sitting down, and then we're thinking of going out and dancing and stuff, and she says, I'll be right back. So she leaves, and then her friend's like, oh no, don't tell me she just went off. And I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? It's like, she does ecstasy. She's probably went off to find someone. I'm like, what? And I was like,
at 18?
Yeah, well, at 17, I had no idea that ecstasy was even a real thing, you know? Like, I heard about it in movies.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, because I wasn't part of the club scene, right? I'm from B-Town.
Yeah.
We don't have clubs there. I guess we do now.
Yeah,
have
a story about young ecstasy, but keep going.
Yeah. And she comes back, and she's like, jumping on me. She's like, just trying to make out the whole time. So I'm like, fine, that's cool.
Of course. Yeah, you're 18.
So
you're
we're
like...
making out.
Yeah.
And then, but we're not really talking anymore. She just seems like,
the words are done.
Conversations are over, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I mean, like, I still don't know that much about you, but like, we'll keep making out. Like, that's fine, we can make out. So we leave the club, we go back to my friend's place, and we're sleeping over. And at this point, the alcohol sort of wore off, because I didn't drink too much, because I thought we were going to, like, keep going, but, like, we just cut it off at, like, 11 or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And so, in this day and age of my life, I'm, like, putting back a pack a week kind of thing.
A pack?
Of cigarettes.
Whoa!
So
smoke?
Yeah. Well, I started way back, like...
I had no idea.
When I was 15, yeah. It's not good. Yeah, this is a big reveal for you.
You're a totally different human back then.
Yeah.
You were the definition of maturity. All right, keep going.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was cool back then. Yeah, but that's just what I was doing, right? I was going in the backyard, tossing them back. And
my
I kind
parents,
of...
Though?
My parents? My mom's the one that's in the picture. And
yeah,
I think she had a hunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't care if she knows, especially now that it's in retrospect.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So it's okay. It's fine. All right, you know.
So you're back
no discretion.
You're back at your
friend's We're back
place.
At the guy's place, and I'm losing interest. Because I'm like, this person is just, like, spinning. She's just looking at the ceiling, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just, yeah, I don't know what it was, but I was just like, nah, I don't want to be here. But, like, I'm sleeping over at the guy's place, so.
Right.
And now me and this girl are going to sleep over in the same bed.
Oh, separate
like,
bed?
Same bed.
Or, sorry, separate bed from the other two.
Yeah. Well, they're upstairs. We get the basement.
Oh,
ourselves.
Wow.
And perfect. I'm like, I don't want this. Like, I understand that they want this, because I'm sure for them it's like, oh, we're Cupid or whatever.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
I don't want this. So, but, like, I have nowhere to go. Like, I don't have a job, right? I'm just a kid. So, I'm just like, I can't just take the subway home, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to wait till the morning and then, you know, get a drive. So, I'm down there. I'm in bed. And she's, like, asking me to cuddle her and stuff, and I don't want to, but so I'm doing it to oblige her, and she's like, Tell me about your childhood. Tell me what your childhood is like.
Oh, that's spicy.
And just, yeah, and I'm like, clearly she wants something to happen here, but I don't want it to happen. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm just holding her. I'm just like, I was a kid. I got up to my kids. Nightmare. Yeah, I was like, I got brothers and I got sisters. And she's like, how many? I'm like, 2 and 2. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah. And like, it was just bad. So I pretend to go to sleep, and then she ends up actually going to sleep.
Okay.
So, thank God. Really? And then, so I sneak up to like, go over another smoke, and I'm just like, how do I get out of this situation? And I didn't know how. So I ended up just sleeping on the floor beside the bed. Because I was like, I don't want to get in the bed with her. Like, I feel like she's going to try something on me, and I don't want to. And then, we just wake up in the morning, and she's like, so you call? And I'm like, if something happens, if we're doing something, sure. Like, I guess we're all hanging out now as a group.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't saying like that, first off. I wasn't being that rude to her. I was like, oh, sure. And then she kisses me, and I'm like, oh, man, like, I hate this. Like, I was like, I'm not down for any of this at all. It was just super awkward. Yeah. And then that ends. I get out of there. And then fast forward to, I think, 2 or 3 years later. And she's hitting me up on Facebook Messenger.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And so I'm hitting her back. Yeah. But I'm not doing this. Well, yeah, because I'm like, all this time's passed, and I forget how awkward that night was. Yeah. And I'm like, whatever. Or time's changed, all that kind of stuff, too. So I'm like, let's hang out. Like, let's, you got some free time. And so she was living in Toronto, but going to school at McMaster. So she'd taken the train.
Okay.
And so she stops off in Burlington one day because I'm like, let's chill.
Yeah.
So she gets out. I got my mom's soccer mom van for the day. Like, I like procured it kind of thing from the other siblings. And I'm like, I'm having this date. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And it was the most awkward thing ever. Like, really? We had zero chemistry. It was we were barely trying to keep a conversation going. Like, it was the worst thing ever. And then, like, we hung out. We went to my place. And then, like, I showed her around Burlington. And then we went to a movie. And so it was this whole six-hour experience that was the most awkward thing where we weren't talking about anything.
All out for a first date.
Yeah.
Wow. Most I've done was after we go for drinks, I got pizza. That was like... This date just leveled up.
Yeah. I guess the suburban area of Burlington's a little different, where I can actually just take people on a tour.
I guess so. I can't just throw a girl on the back of my bike and say, honey, we're going.
Hold on, yeah. Don't get hit. Don't fall off.
Hold on.
Even though I'm sure Toronto has way more to see, it's,
I don't know.
It's more is hidden, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a different scenario. But I don't go on that many dates, so maybe it's all this, like, pent up, like, it's been years, I'm gonna make this person have the best first date they've ever experienced.
Right.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
But, whatever, I mean, it all ends terribly. I've only been in 2 serious relationships, and the second one I'm currently in, so.
Oh, that's good.
It's great.
I've only been in one.
Yeah.
And like.
When you do, I win.
What's that?
We're not keeping score.
Oh. And then I had a thing earlier this year that ended. But that, I don't know if I can...
Was that potentially serious?
I was, like, fully down for it. Then she broke my heart, and so I don't have...
This happened to me in my first serious relationship.
But it was, like, we were, like, I guess you call it dating for 2 months.
2 months? And then, well, like, what would you consider making it serious? Saying, will you be my girlfriend? Like what has to prompt that for you? You think?
I don't know. The feeling's just. Like, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about you just like think about that person all the time and like.
Yeah.
I think I do a lot of projecting in terms of the future. Like, like sometimes before I go on a first date, I'm thinking about what our life could be like.
Well, it's risk
management. And I'm like
mapping
out like, oh man, like. If this goes well, like, there's this concert, and
she
likes that band, and we can go to, like, this place that I love,
And then it turns out they're always, like, into, into weird sort of pudding fetish.
No, you get with the endless options that all genders have now, it's just, you get the ghosts.
Yeah.
And you get
ghosts.
You get, I mean, you get spooky things that just failed connections. Like, okay, we're not into each other. But most of the time, it's ghosting.
Yeah, well,
not on my end. I don't do that. Good. But I've been ghosted at least 4 times.
Okay. 4.
It's trash. But, like, whatever.
It's you the get world over we live it. In. Yeah, yeah, just, yeah. Don't take it personally.
It's like, you can't get too riled up over it. But just, it does suck for that, like, that 1 week window of, like,
yeah.
You think they're going to hit me back?
Maybe they're just busy. Yeah,
yeah. You come with all these excuses,
yeah.
And then you find their Instagram, and you see that like glowing red circle that they've posted an Instagram story, and you're just like, you snake,
you fucking, you goddamn snake. What would you rather, being ghosted or seeing a ghost?
I would rather see a ghost for
you would
sure.
That's terrifying. That'd be so scary.
It'd be so cool.
Yeah, that's true.
It would end the debate of are ghosts real. I'd be like, brother, ghosts are real, I saw one.
You take a picture, nothing shows up, a little orb, boom, it ends up with the file of all the other people who swear they've seen ghosts.
I guess you would just have to carry that with you for the rest of your life and people would think you're crazy.
What?
But like, ghosting sucks. I'd rather not go through that again. True. I want to experience something new.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced any sort of paranormal activity? Any sort of eeriness where you feel like a coldness on your shoulder or anything when you're alone?
No, maybe when I was younger, but yeah. I haven't.
That's I know the theory about that. Little kids apparently are more tapped in to the spirit world.
Really?
Because they're more open-minded.
Yeah, I was going to say they're like naive and...
Yeah, they're just open to everything.
Yeah, because their brains are still developing.
Yeah. And because they have imaginary friends. People theorize that that's like ghosts and shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But I believe that there are other life forms out there, 100%.
Like aliens?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, that's a mathematical thing. Because, again, my thing's science. So, when you look at the fact that there's, what, like 250 million stars just in the Milky Way alone?
Yeah.
And we've already found tens of thousands of potentially habitable planets... Just in the neighboring stars that we've seen with telescopes.
Yeah.
It's like, how many, like, so...
So many options.
What about the whole galaxy? And then what about all of the galaxies?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like...
And, like, how deep does that go? Like, how many galaxies upon galaxies? Like, how...
And superclusters of galaxies and, just... It's crazy. So it's like...
There's other stuff going on.
Clearly, we can't be special. Just because we can't observe other stuff means nothing. Yeah. We're on the rim of the galaxy. You really think that that's where the one
so
time
crazy.
Ever in the universe it happened? Hell no.
I used to, when I was younger again, it didn't happen so much. I'd be lying in bed and like have this like, my whole mind would like zoom out onto the world and I'd think about like how this shit just all ends at some point. It's like, how does...
Well, when you say you zoom out,
end?
Do you like visually have the sensation of zooming out? Like, do you experience vertigo at all? Like,
not
cause,
totally, but yeah. I'm just okay, maybe it's like I'm from like a video background. I'm just like zooming out onto to the world and like
see the planet
galaxy. And it's just like, I can't believe that this all can just
end in an
end,
instant.
Like that that humans can die and you don't exist anymore and like
yeah,
that's so.
Messed
like
up.
That's so
yeah because yeah the what do they say, the most accepting people of death are usually those who have experienced some sort of extreme loss to their identity, whether it's like their child dying or whether they just took way too many shrooms and they've experienced that just complete ego collapse.
I need to take more shrooms, but they're fantastic.
Gotta dive in head first. Get a big bucket of shrooms and just go to town. I just had loaded mushrooms tonight.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know what was in it, I'm sure.
We should do another episode where we take mushrooms.
Yeah, oh my god. A 6-hour episode.
Psilocybin ones.
Yeah, the fancy stuff. But, yeah, well, yeah, so here, like, I've openly talked about this, where it's like I've done shrooms 4 times in the past now,
mm-hmm.
and I want to do it again because I've only had one good trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not afraid of having a bad trip now that I've had
three of them. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's done like an ego collapse where it's just like I feel terrible and then like it's just like I'm nothing kind of thing until
oh, wow.
like eventually I come back.
How much did you take for that? Did you not know?
I think it was just really potent, so it didn't take a lot, but I just picked up like blue dust and just took that. And it's like, that's the concentrated stuff.
I had a fantastic experience earlier this year.
Earlier this year?
Yeah. Nice. But then I did it a second time of like a microdose in Montreal. And it was just me and my friends were just giggly as fuck.
True.
Climbing Mont Royal.
Nice. Just
laughing at literally
everything, the world.
Everything and that's nothing. Great.
Well, what would you say now about that concept of what about everything ending? Like, you still have the same concept, you think, where it's a perverse idea, the idea of loss, of just nothingness.
Yeah, I mean, I had the feeling, as I was describing before, just, like, this unsettlingness that just how, like, everything you've ever known and this
just
life thing,
erased.
It's like, how can life that, I don't even know how to articulate it, but it's like, how can life end? How can that end? Wait, there has to be something beyond, like, how can this end?
Yeah. The concept of, like, because, yeah, we're self-aware.
I don't know, I wish I could articulate it better.
Well, yeah,
but,
I can sort of get where you're going at, because it's like when you were a kid, you were having an existential crisis, where when you look at the bigger scale of things, the less meaning is derived by it. It slowly becomes just this vacuous, because, like, that's what the universe is. Most of it's empty space.
Yeah.
And yet there's these chemicals interacting with each other constantly. There's gravity pulling at everything. And right now, we are on a planet that is barely safe by just an ozone layer, that if it didn't exist, the entire Earth would be scorched by the sun.
Yeah.
And then the sun is rotating basically down a toilet bowl. The center of the galaxy is a giant, supermassive black hole. Once it goes in, it never comes out.
Yeah.
That won't happen in our lifetime, obviously. I'm pretty sure the sun will explode before it even gets there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, everything is finite. Nothing is infinite. But, yeah, like, you know, I think the fact that we have a time scale in the universe also creates to that. It's like, it is 13 billion years old. Like, we can actually look at that. If you zoom in close enough, we could literally see the past.
Yeah.
That's spooky to me. Time is a thing that you can actually physically, like, in the bigger scale, you can literally see the end of. It's weird.
I think what I think about a lot more nowadays is not so much about like the ending of life, but like just the life I personally want to lead. Maybe it stems from like, oh, this all ends one day, but it's like, I don't know why you would ever have negative interactions or act negative towards people. And it's like, I still get caught doing it. It's like something I'm actively trying to change, to make sure that all my interactions with people, when I talk to people, when I'm talking about people to other people, that's all positive and like just,
or at least
just
like
it's not negative, that it's progressing. Yeah, it's progressing in some way, but it's just, I don't know, it's, you just go on any social media and there's
so
negativity
much,
which
oh my God.
Is understanding for some people who have literally been suffering, like people who aren't as privileged as us, but it's just so much negativity and just makes me want to like be a better person and be a positive force in people's
do whatever
lives.
You can to try and
so it's like when people
to
think of you, they just think of like
just
positive energy, good vibes.
Yeah,
I think that's just like rewarding.
That's good. Yeah, so we're winding down a little bit here. It's totally up to you if you want to add a plug at the end of the episode. It's completely up to you, but you have to understand, once you do that, you are forfeiting your anonymity. So, totally up to you. You can do it at the last 10 seconds if you want. You can do it whenever you want. But since we still have a couple minutes left here, I want to cover the opinion section a little bit.
Okay.
I'm thinking I only got enough
for
one. You
have like 1 minute.
Yeah, so I got one thing to hit on here.
We can do it like just bang them out.
Oh, you, would you
yes,
want
no,
to look
yes,
at?
No, yes,
okay,
no.
What is your opinion on guns?
Anti-gun ownership.
What is your opinion on abortion?
Pro.
What is your opinion on tattoos?
Pro.
Do you have any?
I have no tattoos. I'm not someone to commit to things.
Okay, so it's good
well.
That you don't.
Yeah.
Because you would hate to just do that one drunken night and then go,
yeah,
no!
No!
What is your opinion on spirituality?
I think I personally don't have anything spiritual, but as for others, do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, you can respect the concept
that,
you know,
I think it's
it
cool.
doesn't hurt anyone.
It doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Go for it.
What is your opinion on feminism?
Pro.
You're not anti. No. You don't hate the libtards. You're not fucking pro like the meninists.
No.
You know?
No. Every woman in my life is a feminist, and it's fantastic. Much needed. I mean, I think it's just,
beautiful.
Fantastic.
And last one I'm going to throw at you here is, what is your opinion on space travel?
I guess it's fun and fine. Go for it.
Is it necessary for the future of humanity?
See, I don't know if I've done enough research, but I think it is. I mean, they talk about like going to Mars or whatever and like trying to have that planet or something.
Yeah.
But like, I can't see there being anything substantial in my lifetime.
Sure, fair enough. Well, hey, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks
and chatting
for,
with
thanks
me.
For us. Thanks to both of us for finally
setting this up.
And
yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
It was a lovely time.
Before I actually let you go, is there any words of wisdom that you'd give to the audience? A short little quip just to pick them up.
Yeah. I say yeah, like I know what I'm about to say.
Live, laugh, live.
But spread positive energy and make sure every interaction you have with someone ends positively, because you don't know if that'll be the last interaction you have with them.
Very nice.